Sandra was a nice lady. She was about my age. Her mother was active in our church in Danville. And Sandra asked a number of times to come see me and to talk and to share her problems and what she was feeling at a certain time. She was feeling very lonely. She was feeling very anxious about life in general and about her relationship with God. And Sandra had all sorts of questions she was asking me. Was God angry at her? Was he out to punish her? Did God love her, or did he want her to feel so lonely and so isolated the way that she did? No matter how much I listened to her, no matter how much I said, shared with her about God's promises or shared scriptures with her, try to show her otherwise, it just didn't seem to be doing any good. It was felt like pouring water in a bucket that had a lot of holes in the bottom. Because the next time she would come to see me, she was asking the very same questions, as if we hadn't even talked about it at all, or nothing had sunk in. Finally, I think it was the Holy Spirit that prompted me to perceive that Sandra was depressed, and that her depression was physical in nature. Now, I'm not a doctor, nor am I trained to diagnose people at all, but I'd read enough about clinical depression to be sensitive to it and to suggest to her and say, Sandra, I think you are clinically depressed. That is, your body doesn't have the right chemicals to make the connections between the nerves. And that's, I believe, causing you to feel the way that you do, so severely depressed. I strongly recommend that you go to a professional. Go to a therapist who's qualified to diagnose this kind of thing and see if it's true. Much to her credit, Sandra went to see a professional. And he did diagnose her as depressed, and he recommended a certain antidepressant. And he told her, now, I believe this will help you. Sometimes certain medications help some people, but they don't help others. With some people, I've had to prescribe 5 different medications to try before I hit the right one for his or her body. And the doctor also told her, now you take these, you don't expect to feel any different or better for about 6 weeks. That's how long it takes for it to get in your body and to have its effect. Much to her credit, even though she didn't feel like it, Sandra took those medications, and lo and behold, 6 weeks later, her depression lifted. She felt so much better. And all those intense, confusing questions she had about God, all those theological concerns that she had, just seemed to go away. In this instance, I would have to say that Sandra was blessed by the church. That is, she might have gone to some well-meaning but really ill-informed pastor or other Christian, and might have assumed that her problem was completely spiritual. You know, there are too many church people who are ignorant about the causes and the symptoms of depression, and they only focus on the spiritual dimension of a person's life. And so they'll say stuff that's like, you know, if you just pray, if you just get down on your knees, if you just give your heart to the Lord Jesus, everything will be just fine. And like the Pharisees that Jesus had to talk to in the New Testament so many times, well-meaning, but not exactly knowing what they're doing, and putting a heavier burden on people that just makes their situation worse. That can happen. It really can happen. For the past 2 Sundays, we've been talking about depression. First of all, we were trying to just say, what is it? Why do our bodies experience such things as depression? Is it okay to make use of psychiatry? Is it okay to make use of medications in dealing with depression? In short, the answer is yes, it's okay, but we cannot assume that psychiatry and medicine can solve all of our problems. That's not necessarily the case. Many people are in need of praying and getting down on their knees and giving their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what they need to do. But it is our job as discerning believers to be careful about this, to know the difference between the two, and not just think that a one-size-fits-all recommendation is going to be perfectly suited for everybody. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can be doing a person much more harm than we are doing good. John Ortberg, perhaps you've heard that name. John Ortberg is a popular preacher and author. Along with holding a Master of Divinity degree, he has also earned a PhD in psychology from Fuller Theological Seminary. And he has authored two books about depression. He knows how a local church can best reach and help those who have this debilitating condition called depression. Now, Ortberg, who knows a whole lot more about it than I do, he says we live in a day and time when people tend to use psychological language for spiritual issues. But there are no clear boundary lines between what is psychological and what is spiritual. And that makes sense to me. He says that the two language domains, they make sense. And he says that they overlap significantly. And what influences our behavior and what we can do about it are complicated. And so we don't do folks much justice when we act as if it's all very simple or take simplistic approaches that don't serve people well at all. Now here's what John's church does in Menlo Park. It's called Menlo Park Presbyterian. It's out there in California. They really actively minister to people who are suffering from mental or emotional issues. And they do so through their HELP ministry. It's H-E-L-P. And they're very intentional about what that stands for. HELP stands for hope, encouragement, love, and prayer. HELP. That's easy to remember. Hope, encouragement, love, and prayer. And what it has evolved into is support groups for depressed people and for their families too. People who need such ministry from the church will tell you. They say, you know, the most important thing is to be part of a community where others share the same struggles and they use the same language and they bear each other's burdens. They say, that's what I've found to be most helpful to me. And the folks in the HELP ministry expect people to share their stories and their burdens publicly. I mean, to do it out in the open with others. Why? Well, mainly because it helps people confront their problems, and it blesses the people who are hearing it, too, when they're sharing. It's quite illuminating. And then this thing called depression goes from being a statistic, and it goes from being just an article in Time magazine to being very, very real and very personal and very specific. And sharing the stories of how you're dealing with depression, it really expands your heart and the heart of other people who are hearing it. Now, Ortberg's church and has several support ministries going on which provide different levels of care. They also refer people to professional counselors, and they'll even provide financial assistance for people who can't afford that kind of expensive care. And they are wisely attempting to minister to people both in group experiences and one-on-one. Now, I'm delighted to hear about such ministries as Ortberg's church is doing, because I believe they are carrying out and they are following in the tracks of the Colossian church that Paul was writing to, that we read about just a few moments ago, that Brent read for us from the first chapter of Colossians. And Paul was praising that church 2,000 years ago. I encourage you to go back and reread 1 Corinthians. You can read 1 Corinthians too, but go back and read Colossians, the first chapter, and those verses 3 through 14. And what kind of things is Paul talking about with this group of believers? He is all excited about how helpful they are to each other. He's all excited about the love. Look at verse 4, the love that they are showing for the saints, for the church members, that is. And he emphasizes what in this passage here? He talks about faith. He talks about hope. He talks about prayer. He's just hammering away at those and saying, this is great. And they're exactly the same things that Ortberg's church is emphasizing. Hope, encouragement, love, prayer. Go back and read those words of Paul. Really, they're filled with positive vibrations and affirmations. He's basically saying, y'all are really doing great. Keep up the good work. The fruit that you are producing for Christ and his people is just wonderful. And then he, at the very end of that passage, he says, now, and you remember what the foundation for all of this is. We have all this because God loves us so much, and he has included us in his kingdom through his Son, through the forgiveness of sins. Never lose sight of that, what it's all about. It's not just people helping people, but it's God has done all this for us. Boy, we can really do that for one another. Can't you get excited about something like that? Not just in the Colossian church way back there 2,000 years ago, but, you know, good theology is good as far as it goes, but if it isn't showing itself in loving, caring, compassion, well, then it's nothing. As a matter of fact, just having a theology but not having the caring just makes things worse. Paul wants them, he talks about needing endurance and patience in doing this. Because if you have any experience at all with it, you know that dealing with people with emotional problems, dealing with people with severe depression, dealing with people with mental illness takes endurance. It will wear you out. It takes patience because it is really, really hard. But it's what God wants us to do. I have a question for you today. Do you think our church could be praised in a similar way that Paul was praising the Colossian church? I hope so. We might not have formulated or yet formulated some of the same things that John Ortberg's church has formulated, but I hope we're doing the same things, being helpful for people, sharing such things as hope and encouragement and love and prayers. Now, last Sunday after worship, as we were going out, Ron Hatcher shared with me just briefly about how much Mount Hermon Baptist Church helped him when he was going through a time when he felt depressed. It was a number of years ago. And I asked Ron, would you be willing to share this with everybody next Sunday when we're talking about this? And he said he would. So, here's a real-life situation. I doubt when you think of the name Ron Hatcher, you think of depression. Mental, yes, he says, but it shows we all get depressed. Ron, come share with us, if you would, please.
All of you have probably heard the story of the 10 lepers that approached Jesus on his walk to Jerusalem. They asked for him to cleanse them over their afflictions. He said, continue on your journey and you'll be cleansed. Well, after a period of time, one returned, threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him for what he had done in his life. Well, obviously, Jesus was perplexed and asked the question, weren't there 10 of you? Why only 9 returned? But no matter. He said, rise and go forth. Your faith has healed you. I will say and add to that, this church healed me. Now, I'm one of those that's always said, along your life of journey, you can look back and say where God has been preparing us to face situations in our lives. My journey began in 1984 when I came to this church. I saw people that were going to church every Sunday, and I said, you know, there's something in their face that I want that. I want to be a part of that. So I became a part of this church, and it was the best thing that our family had ever done. Again, this was in 1984. Now, when you think of depression, I know you really don't think that happened to someone like me, but it can happen to everyone. Trust me, it can. Even with our faith, it can attack us. When the devil's coming at us and saying, see, God's not doing a thing for you. He did, and he does. Now, stress can be brought on by everyday life. the family issues, relationships, finances, and the death of a loved one. And that's what, unbeknownst to me, brought mine on. It was in 1994 when I lost my dad and my best friend. I had prayed for the faith and the strength to get through that immediate grief and the funeral and everything that goes with it, but I forgot to ask for how am I going to handle with that loss and that emptiness, okay? So I thought I'm doing okay. And suddenly I was realizing that the phone was ringing. This is prior to the 2008 economic situation. The phones were ringing, and it was saying, well, you're behind in your bills. I'm thinking I'm paying my bills, and I suddenly realized that I'm not. People are telling me at work, well, you know, you forgot to do something, and you're not taking care of things like you used to do. And this went on for several months, and I'm thinking, gosh, what's wrong? What's wrong? There must be something wrong with me. Now, many of you have seen these commercials where they're talking about somebody depressed, and they look like they've got a blank look on their face, and yes, I know I have that most of the time anyway. So, but you think, and they're talking about medication that can go with that and make them feel better. But that wasn't my case. I never thought about that. I just thought about, I was feeling like I could see things going on, but I really wasn't taking care of things. There was like a cloud over me. And I was feeling really, really depressed. I realized it, but I didn't realize it until afterwards. But I suddenly started remembering this church and the immediate grief that I went through. I remembered the support when people found out that my dad had passed away. I remembered in the months that followed that no matter what we talked about, it would always come up about something. I remember your dad. Your dad would have done this, and he would have been right here and been a participant. Okay, yeah, you think about it. You couldn't talk, but you would well up inside. So you're kind of cleansing yourself, unbeknownst to me, of that feeling of funk, as the kids would say. You know, I can't overcome this. And then one day, and God has a wonderful way of lifting you up and making a subtle way of making you realize how lucky you are. I was moving some things around at the house, and I tripped over this basket. Within this basket were lots and lots of cards, and I decided to open them up. The first one that I came to, God pulled it right there in front of me, and it was something that I had received during the death of my dad. I kept all those cards, and someone said, you know, you might want to keep them because at some point in time, you maybe didn't remember what everybody said, but you might want to reflect upon it, whether it comes about from a birthday or Father's Day or whatever. Anyway, I opened the first one, and that's what it talked about. It was an insert that had been sent to me and said, you know, there might be a time that these might become useful to you versus just saying how much we love you and care about you. So I sat there on the floor. I was at the house by myself, and I went through all of those cards. I read every one of the comments. And anybody that knows me, when I talk about things sometimes, you know, I can become very emotional. Well, I'm sure at that point the tears were flowing down my face that could fill a bucket. But at the same time, I felt an uplifting that I could not describe and something that could be done with medication. This is me speaking. Many people and the way our brains work, it's different for everybody. But because I had been brought to this church, because of the love of this church at a difficult time, and the prescription that I got, again, was the love and the uplifting from reading those cards again, of comments that had been made, I felt totally different. I could take a deep breath. Now, it didn't happen immediately, but every time I would go back and look at those prescriptions, those cards, and I remembered how lucky I am to be a member of Mount Hermon Baptist Church, how lucky I am to have God by my side, and how lucky I am to have the love of so many people. We've said it so many times when people go through funerals or anything that they're going through. How do they do it without church? How do they do it without God? It's very perplexing. But I'm one here to tell you that this church helped me get through something that I struggled with for a long time. And I just thank you so much.
Amen. Hey, thank you, man. Beautiful.
Gosh, thanks, Ron. You know, a medical sociologist named Janice Eglin has done some interesting research on depression. And one of her findings is that the rates of reactive depression are significantly lower among the Amish. Among all the populations that are in the United States, the Amish have the lowest levels of depression occurring. And even evangelicals, which is what we're part of, we're among the evangelicals, as a whole, she found virtually no difference in the incidence of depression with the general population. And she said, really, that's no real surprise because we are so still integrated into our culture and into our society that we have kind of bought into it. We have kind of still become part of it and then suffer about the same rates of depression. But the Amish, as you know, go to great lengths to separate themselves from the broader culture, something that we're not likely to do and something I honestly believe we don't have to do, except in this way. We simply need to avoid buying into what the culture says we ought to buy into. Because if we do, and Jesus said, you know, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. So we need to listen to Jesus on this and not to the world. Because if we listen to the world, we're going to be depressed. If we don't listen to the world, we're much more likely not to think, okay, we've got to be rich enough, or we've got to be popular enough, or we've got to be thin enough, or trendy enough, or successful enough, and on and goes a culture according to these cultural expectations. We can let go of all of that. That's one good thing to do. Then another good thing to do is to hold on to a supportive community. That's what the Amish have, okay? And that's what Mount Hermon Baptist Church can be for us. That we can share our problems, that we can share our burdens, tell people why we feel down and blue and depressed, and we won't get criticized. We won't get slammed. We won't get put down or told, well, just get over it. But we'll be loved, encouraged, supported, prayed for. Can we do that? It's been done. Ron says it has, and I bet you have in your heart a story too. You said, yeah, I can. I've been blessed as well. Or you've probably been a blessing to somebody and lifted their spirits without even realizing it. Christian faith is all about hope, especially for those suffering mental illness or some form of depression. Our hope is in the risen Christ. And I know his resurrection, it doesn't eliminate pain. It doesn't eliminate suffering. It doesn't even eliminate death because we are all going to die. But it does kill the power of death and it transforms our lives into meaning and to purpose and to true life, however long it might last. So let's resolve to be like the Colossian church and do the kind of good things that they were doing. Because we'd like to be praised not just by the Apostle Paul, we'd like to be praised by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who would look at what we're doing and loving and helping each other and say, hey, you're doing good. You're doing really, really good. Let's pray. Our Father, we'd love to hear those words from you, from your Son, because that's the best thing that could possibly be. Let it be, Lord, that you open our eyes to the needs of people around us, that you open our ears and we really hear how people are hurting, and that you open our hearts and just let the love flow and the courage to accept and to support. We know it's a lot of work, but it's the work you're doing every day. We'd like to be close along behind you in doing it, Lord. Help us with it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.